This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Georgiana Shea, the CCTI and TCIL chief technologist for cybersecurity at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, introducing me to a world I knew not of. I know there's hacking. I know there's cybersecurity. I know that it's an arms race. The offense, the defense, back and forth. But what is to be done? It is called a remedy of Software Bill of Materials. SBOM is the acronym, sometimes called SBOM. Georgiana, very good evening to you. Thank you very much. SBOM points to something I did not know in the software that I'm looking at right now all around me. 70-75% of this software is off the shelf, is nested in there and always has been in there from other sources, now organized into this particular software. Is that new, that so much of software is open source code, or is that something that's always been known and I skipped it in my analysis? Good evening to you.
Well, thank you for having me, John. No, it's not new. You can look at software just like you do your car. So when you buy a car from Ford or Chevrolet or whoever you're getting your car from, there's a lot of other parts that go into it, and they're not necessarily developing all those parts that go into the car. They're putting it all together, and they're not literally reinventing the wheel. They're putting the wheel on the car that they bought from someone else. That's the same way for software. When you go through and you contract for software development, they're not going to go through and rewrite code from scratch when you can go through and pull different code out from different repositories that are out there that perform the functions that they're looking for. So again, they're not going to now theoretically reinvent the wheel in software. And you can actually see that with when you do online shopping, for example, and you go to the checkout page. That checkout page is kind of the same across all different online shopping retailers because it's a reused module in that digital environment for retail.
Right now, Georgiana, if I go to a piece of software, does it have a list of the software inside, nested inside, that is open source? Can I read that off of a piece of software?
I would say generally no, they're not going to have that. If you were the one who's contracting for the development of the software, you can request that list, but the software developers, manufacturers don't really pass that out with their software. They give you the finished product and then you kind of accept everything that's in that software without knowing exactly what's in there, where it came from, what kind of risk indicators may be involved.
Risk. Okay, we go to an executive order, 14-14028, issued by President Biden, May of 2021. Cybersecurity. Quote, buyers can use an SBOM to perform vulnerability or license analysis, both of which can be used to evaluate risk in a product. Those who operate software can use SBOMs to quickly and easily determine whether they are at potential risk of a newly discovered vulnerability. Does this answer the risk that you take when you have a piece of software developed that has all this off-the-shelf software inside of it?
Does it answer the risk? What it does is allow you to develop a risk management plan. Now you can see what it is you're getting and either decide to accept that risk or mitigate those risks or just not accept the risk. So you can go through and make that decision yourself as the consumer of the product.
We go to what can go wrong and why. Solar wind, very well known hacking of many parts of the private and public atmosphere by what are presumed to be bad actors headquartered in Russia or cyberspace connected to the FSB. We're not looking to solve a crime. We're looking at what happened. What do we know now about the SolarWind hack? How is it part of this unknown of open source code?
Well, so the SolarWinds is an example of a trusted software that was being purchased by different customers. And in 2020, it was looked at. It was good. There were no vulnerabilities associated with it. But then in 2021, that exact same software now had vulnerabilities associated with it, had a backdoor in their Orion platform. So that's a great example of how the security posture of a software changes, even though the software itself didn't change. So with an SBOM, if you know what's contained within that software, you can do that continuous monitoring to see when those subcomponents fall in and out of compliance or have a risk or have some type of compromise or a new vulnerability that's associated with it. Whenever you do any type of security assessment of software, it's just a point in time. So it's an SBOM allows you a tool that gives you the capability for some type of continuous monitoring to follow the security posture and compliance of that product. So the SolarWinds itself, it's believed that the Russians got into the development life cycle of into the program build of the SolarWinds. So they may not have been using open source software, but something was injected at some point during the development, and it wasn't noticed. It wasn't recorded. The integrity of the development wasn't being monitored from new updates and changes to the code. So an SBOM would allow you to go through, if you incorporated it to your configuration management process, to kind of go through and see what's there daily, check the integrity of it each day, and see if there's been a change.
The Transformative Cyber Innovation Lab at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, you're the chief technologist, has teamed up with Virgil Systems. And what have you discovered is possible for SBOM? What is your revelation?
Well, so I teamed up with Virgil Systems, which concentrates on data integrity. And then I also teamed up with Ion Channel, which is a software supply chain company. So but with the two of them, it was very enlightening because it shows you how the SBOM really needs that chain of custody type of capability so that you can have the trust of the history of the software, where it's being updated, what you're incorporating, the pieces of it. And with the software supply chain company Ion Channel that I looked at, it was extremely eye-opening when you start to do the analysis on those components. So the analysis, not just knowing what's in the software, but knowing that, maybe an open source piece of software came from a developer out of China who works for the Chinese offensive cyber organization, or that the software has licensing issues, it's now out of license, or that the number of dependencies of the software. So the SBOM is really a tool that gets to a much larger understanding of what kind of risks may be inherent in the software that you're procuring.
Are bad actors taking advantage of organizations not doing this?
Obviously, I can't speak to what specifically is being done by our adversaries, but I can tell you from just sort of a common sense understanding, you have ISR, your intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. And when you apply those concepts and capabilities to software development, and you know that software is being comprised of 75% open source software, and you can get these different code pieces in places like GitHub that are online that anyone can go through and commit the code to, then it makes a lot of sense. And it seems like a no-brainer that anyone could then put code there. They could have embedded capabilities. They could have passive capabilities. And when you ingest those into your packages, then you don't really know what's going on under the software. So the test and evaluation of the software then becomes extremely important. So you have to look at those test processes in the overall software packages. Are you finding those underlying passive and dormant capabilities that may be ingested in the software, or are you not? Because right now we have a national database. It's the National Vulnerability Database, the NVD, which goes through and it catalogs your different common vulnerabilities and exposures, the known vulnerabilities of software. And this was the example I was talking about with SolarWinds. So that CVE, that common vulnerability and exposure that we know with SolarWinds, is now in that database, but it wasn't in 2020. So if I'm just looking at the database, cross-referencing it to the software, then I'm not going to see that there's dormant and passive capabilities going on in that software that I ingested, because there's not an identified CVE with that. So we don't know what we don't know. And we just kind of go along until someone discovers these vulnerabilities, and then they then write a CVE, and then we know about it. And then we can scan and look for it.
Speaking with Georgiana Shea of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy about the risk to software everywhere. This is CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBSI on the World with John Batchelor.